Joining me now is Tony Arterburn of Wise Wolf Gold, and he has set up DavidKnight.gold. So if you'd like to start accumulating gold and silver, that's the way you can do it. He has Wolfpack, which is a subscription service, and he'll send you gold or silver monthly. So thank you for joining us, Tony.
Great to be back, Travis. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. And it is always a pleasure to have you on. And I'd like to get to start, as we were talking in the break, your opinion on what's going on with the Fed. Of course, we saw Trump and the administration talking about, oh, I think we're going to fire Powell. And then, of course, he walks back, oh, I don't know. And as we talked about last week, is he even capable of doing that? We saw him, of course, float this idea. Report to the DOJ. You've done some stuff we don't like, which seems to be the only way he could get him out there is charging him with a crime.
Well, I think we would find out who works for who at some level if this was pushed to the limit. I think it's more likely that, you know, Powell is getting pressure to step down when his term expires. He may leave beforehand. But it's really a question of an open question about policy, because with Powell, we're still you know, talking about fiat currency here, but you know, a currency backed by nothing, that it's been increased, the money supply has been increased by trillions upon trillions upon trillions, and the devaluation is almost complete. I mean, if you look from 1913 to now, it's about 99% of all purchasing power has been erased from the dollar. But at least Powell, you know, they see the strong dollar theory, you know, in play. They want to hold on as long as they can to a dollar that the world saves. I mean, if you look at interest rates, if you raise interest rates, it encourages countries and large holders of dollars to say, well, I you know, it's 4 or 5%. I'll put it over here and I'll store it. It'll make, you know, short term, it'll make X amount for me and just parking it. And so there'll be, those dollars won't go back into circulation and they won't bring down the purchasing power. So that's how the game works in a microcosm. But what happens when you lower rates, you know, you see like the short-term boons and the stock market goes crazy. There's a lot of liquidity. There's a lot of lending going on. Things are being built for good or ill. Some things it probably shouldn't. That's the way fiat currency works. So Powell has been raising rates faster than any Fed chair in history, and that's because of the unprecedented money expansion that's never happened before at this level. Like, we talk about metrics like 80% of all the dollars ever created in the last 5 years, and it's probably worse than that. I've been saying that for 3 years now, so it's probably worse in some ways than just that. But that's something to soak in, and that's shocking. So I think, Powell, when you raise rates, you contract the money supply. And again, there's a lot of dollars that get hoarded that way. So there's it's a theory of a strong dollar, which, you know, if it's not backed by anything, how is it strong? But that's just the way it works. Trump's philosophy, as we've seen, I don't know if you can label it a philosophy. It's more of like an operation. Whereas we're going to have these tariff threats, and we're going to put 100% tariffs on countries that won't use the dollar, if they're a BRICS nation or if they create a competing currency or whatever. And it doesn't make any sense, but we have the tariff threat, which created a whole host of black swan issues and things that ripple across the markets with imports and exports and other things like that. But he wants lower interest rates, Travis. He wants to get those rates down as low as possible, maybe to zero, like a Bank of Japan situation where the money printer goes burr. That's what he wants. And, you know, if you zoom out, and this is probably a philosophical, you know, theoretical debate, but can you make the money printer go burr? Yeah, if you're thinking about it theoretically, we know that the technocracy wants a central bank digital currency. And I'm kind of skipping over traditional finance to talk about ethereal conspiracy, which is probably smarter because that's where we are. It's the timeline we're on. Mm-hmm. We know that the stable coins are, as I've always said, the dollar's not going to zero. It's going to digital. So it looks to me like the current economic order that we grew up with, everything since Bretton Woods and the Nixon shock of 71 and this fiat experiment. It looks like they're just going to go and do a controlled demolition in some way. Like that's the plan, and like just run up, because we're already at, you know, run. The debt is almost 130%, like that to GDP. So gross domestic product, I mean, this hasn't happened since World War II. And so this is unsustainable. Most economists agree on that. It's about 130%. We're reaching that, and that's a tipping point. So there has to be something has to happen. As a matter of fact, I've been using AI not as a crutch, but actually just conversing with it and asking it questions about this particular thing. And I'm like, how does that, if all fiat currencies go to zero throughout history and the dollar is no different, how does the dollar remain and retain any sort of purchasing power in, you know, losing the world's reserve currency and de-dollarization? I put all these factors in, and the AI actually said that my question was very astute. It was a very interesting question, and it started listing all the ways that it would retain a value after, you know, so much money printing and inflation, and since all currencies go to zero. And its conclusion was going through stable coins, going into stable, and then being backed by something else. Like it had to, in every conclusion through the AI was that it had to be a reset.
Yeah,
there had to be a reset of the monetary system. So there's no way that, like, you, because of the amount, sheer amount of dollars that have been created, and the fact that the world is moving away from this system and de-dollarizing, with it, the Fed or the United States together has no choice. They have to come up with a different way to back the dollar. It just can't be done anymore through sheer money velocity. So I think that the stable coin issue is very interesting to watch. We just had the Genius Act that's being passed, and I believe, you know, through things like a Tether and other things that, you know, we have the stabilization of the dollar through digital and blockchain, and all that. There's a merger there that I believe it's very interesting. It's going to have to happen in order for the dollar to stop losing such massive market share. And if the world wants access, it's going to have to go through stablecoins. A really interesting thing.
One thing that I've been curious about since they started floating stablecoins, they say, well, it's stable because it's tied to an asset like the U.S. dollar. And I'm just like, the U.S. dollar isn't tied to anything, though. How does removing it one level suddenly make it stabilized? It just seems as though they're saying it is this way, and, you know, it's this way because we say so. And I'm so curious as to how they get to that logic. Yeah, this stable coin is stable because it's tied to the US dollar, which is completely unstable in fiat, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I think
the new and improved dollar. It's like, you ever seen those the PR rollouts for somebody that had a, you know, they're trying to redo their image, like, but it's the new and improved. That's what this is. And of course it's not. It's not improved. It's digitized. It's tokenized. It's blockchain, and remember how Zygmunt Brzezinski would talk about an end run around sovereignty, you know, with the technocracy. This is an end run around the same thing, oversight, because you're having this public-private partnership where, you know, you get CBDC just in a different form. And that's what I think we're watching with the stable coins. There's a lot of open questions there. And I think we're still seeing what the end result's going to be. But that seems to me the only way that they continue to prop up the dollars through the stable coin system. And they're going to have to figure out what they're going to back it by. Even the AI running simulations was showing me that a gold-backed stable coin, a Bitcoin-based dollar, it has to be based on energy in some way, because we lost. And if you notice too, Travis, what's interesting that these financial networks, they don't even get into, which is epical events, like losing the petrodollar last year. You know, talking to your dad, I was like, it was 50 years We just lost it, and there wasn't anything like, oh, let's do it this way, or here's something we can trade for. Nothing. We just let it lapse. And I thought, well, that's interesting. It's because they're resetting it. They're resetting the table. They're going to go away from the energy based petrodollar to, and of course, you can argue that gold was energy as well, going from gold to possibly Bitcoin, something like that. They're going to use it, it has to have be backed by something. And there's a lot of open questions on what that's going to be. But the current dollar form, you know, there's the philosophy between, you know, your original question between Powell and whatever Trump represents. It's like the acceleration, like pressing the gas, like let's just go ahead and get this thing on the road and there'll be golden parachutes. And there will be, you know, a semblance of everything's okay for a little while. But that will, again, it will end in debt, it will end in bankruptcies, it will end in over leverage, it'll end in, you know, the a lot of times when there's just massive liquidity, the wrong things get tension. That's what happens in a fiat world, and things that shouldn't exist will exist, and those things will, again, they'll come to an end because of just physics. It just happens. So it'll be interesting to see who wins this bet. I think we know what's going to happen. I think the money printer is going to go burr. Okay? I think they're going to do that, regardless if it's the Trump administration or if it's – they're going to do it, and whoever Powell represents or what faction of that that dollar system is old world, it's old Bretton Woods, it's old. And they're going to – I think the technocracy, whoever's battling and vying for control, wants to go ahead and, again, press the accelerator and let's get this thing to the next level.
Yeah, we know that for a fact. Even if we take this about the word, that they're trying to do something positive for the American people, for people in general, that they are largely insulated from the consequences by the sheer amount of wealth they possess. Like, even if the dollar goes to zero, they're so diversified into other options that it's not really going to affect them. They'll still be massively wealthy. So they don't have to really be concerned with, well, if something goes wrong and we collapse the markets, you know, that's going to suck for some people, not for us. So even if we take them at the word of saying we're trying to do the right thing, it's when you don't have any stakes in anything, it makes it very easy not to care. Where, you, as you said, they can just slam their foot on the accelerator and say, we're going to take it to the next level. Whatever the consequences are, it's fine since they're not going to affect me. But realistically, we know that's not even the case. They're not concerned with doing the right thing or helping the people of America or other countries where they're going to implement this. This is about removing, you know, stratifying wealth even further, consolidating it more into their own hands. And of course, with things like stablecoin and CBDCs, when it goes fully digital, as we've talked about, that means they're fully able to just shut you off at the source. Say, nope, you don't get to play in our economy anymore. You said something naughty online. And we see this here. I've got this article from Zero Edge, says Western Union joins stablecoin race and eyes crypto partnerships. That's what the CEO is saying. So these things are being adopted. They're going to come into use. You don't have players like Western Union or really, you know, any of company like this or even other companies. We had someone say in chat the other day that I believe it was a grocery store chain was implementing, you know, the ability to take stable coins and things like that. These companies aren't going to get on the bandwagon unless they're sure it's coming down the pipeline. They're not going to start investing in infrastructure unless they believe it's really happening. So that's a bellwether. This sort of thing, it's not just a, oh, this could happen. It's that this is happening. The stablecoin is coming one way or the other. And Trump is at the forefront of this. The Genius Act, you know, he talked all about, you know, like, no, we're not going to have CBDC. We're going to block it by executive order. And then he goes and signs this, which completely overwrites what he said. And it's just, this is a tremendous blow to, you know, your own personal ability to gather wealth and potentially prepare for future generations. Like, you want to be able to pass something down to your children, but this will make that completely and utterly impossible, especially if they implement a system like in China where, you know, money has an expiration date. You don't get to keep it. If you don't spend it, you know, eventually they just come in and say, no, that's expired. You didn't put it into the economy, and therefore it's not valid anymore. That is a complete and utter attack on your ability to store wealth, to be able to save and prepare. And the Genius Act is just, it's a, you know, we've talked about this for so many years, and for, you know, you and my dad have been talking about these CBDCs and how they were on the horizon. And it seemed like they were just kind of holding position for a while. They were sitting there. They talked about wanting it, but now this is, you know, full speed ahead. And it's truly incredible to see how quickly they are moving forward at this point. And it seems likely.
I think this is the stark difference. You're right. The language has changed. The outcome will be the same. And it may be worse if it's run this way because of the, I mean, even though the Federal Reserve is not federal and it's not a reserve, it's centralized in a way that has some semblance of oversight. I mean, I know it's still the Federal Reserve. It's the creature from Jekyll Island. But you're talking about even moving further privatized into these stable coins. And it could be great in one end where you have, like you just mentioned, you think about all those retailers out there that don't have to pay credit card fees. If you can go direct with your stable coin, if you can just hit, you know, if you can, especially through the internet, if you can just blockchain to blockchain, those are going to shrink those credit card fees. People don't realize how much retailers, the scam of credit card fees is, it's generational. I mean, they're skimming off of everybody's energy and everybody's creativity and everybody's risk for nothing. I mean, it's transactionally making, it's basically what I make on gold and silver without ever having any investment anywhere. And that's everybody's transaction. That's evil genius. Really evil genius whoever came up with that's even sustainable, but that's what they do. But stable coins, so in theory, solve that. And then the same thing with you know, Bitcoin and other things, they cryptocurrencies do better to solve that, at least the giant fees that you're paying to credit card companies. So that on that end, it's good. But there's the technocracy and how they implement it, and the lack of even a semblance of oversight when it comes to that. You're absolutely right. That's the darkness. That is the risk. And we know how these people think. We know what, you know, as far as centralization and control. It, you know, if I had long wondered what took Larry Fink, BlackRock, why he pivoted and said, he went from Bitcoin is a measurement of money laundering, metric of money laundering, and he went from that to Bitcoin's going to go to 700,000 and we're totally backing it and here's our ETF. And I thought, well, that's a weird pivot. Well, if you look at the stable coin world and how it would work, coin plays a major role, and it plays a major role in backing the value of these things, and because of Bitcoin's limited supply. So, and that's kind of a neutral thing. That's not neither good nor bad. It just means it backs that. It backs that play in the sense that you could get in and out and you could back it by having this limited supply of things for a store of value, kind of like digital gold. So it's something, it's really interesting to watch as we see the world de-dollarizing. That trend continues. I saw a story today, Travis, that precious metal sales from Russia to China are up 80%. This year. So like China's just importing more and more, even though it's the largest gold producer in the world, it's ordering from Russia, who's got massive natural resources, gold and silver and the rest. Silver put is on Russia's strategic reserve asset list. We're nearing like 14 year highs on silver. So there's a lot of interesting stuff happening right now with commodities being central bank buying, sovereign wealth fund buying of gold, and things happening with Bitcoin as well. So it's all converging together in the same time that we're going to have the argument about Powell and Trump and what's best. But at the end of the day, de-dollarization is still happening. The surprise, the dark horse here may be that stable coins, and I've always said the dollar's not going to zero, it's going to digital. And it's digitizing right now.
Yeah, it's happening live before our eyes. It's crazy for me to see, because this is something I've kind of grown up with. You know, not necessarily grown up, but it's been something that's been happening on the periphery. And in governmental scale, things generally take so long to manifest that you kind of forget they were ever happening in the first place. And it just kind of shows up one day. But this is something that went from, yeah, it's happening to, it's here and it's going to happen. And it's truly incredible to see the speed with which this is developing. We've got some comments here. Dustin D. Helm, can't wait for Tony to open the new Denison location. I want to be the first person to buy a silver round through a drive-through window.
I mean, probably in the next 30 days or so, we're working on it. But you know, Wise Wolf leased an old branch bank in Denison on Main Street. And it's going to be fun. It's not very large, but the tube still works. The drive-through window is still there. Like, you've got the tray where you open it up and people can go through. So we'll have all that. So I'll be the only drive-through gold, silver, and Bitcoin. And we're going to call it the bank. You're going by the bank. And you can come see us. That's where you need to bank anyway.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Bank on yourself.
Bank on yourself and go get some gold and silver from Tony in Denison. Or if you aren't local, you can go to davidknight.gold and do it there. Defy Tyrant 1776 says America thrives on debt and usury. It's a wicked system. Yeah, it's funny. My dad has talked about how, you know, when he was young, you know, credit card, the amount of interest they would charge you, you know, it was much, much smaller. And now we reached a point where you can get 30% interest on credit cards. You can have these exorbitant rates that you're never able to pay off. It's something that you would hear the mafia doing. You know, you get in debt with them and they put an interest rate on there that makes it impossible. And so you are their man for the rest of your life. Or else they're going to come up and they're going to break your legs. Now, the credit card companies won't break your legs, but they'll ruin your credit score, which is what, again, as he points out, the American economy runs on. If you don't have a decent credit score, you can't really buy anything of substance. You're not going to be able to get a house or a car unless you can flat out pay cash for them, in which case, you know, you're probably doing so well.
You can do that.
Yeah. If you can afford to do that, you know, you don't have to worry about anything else, really. Like, if you've got that kind of liquid cash, not much is a problem for you as a general rule. But for the average American, these systems are incredibly predatory. You're forced to get a credit card, and they know how easy it is to get people to overspend with them, to spend beyond your means. And so many Americans are just in massive amounts of debt, just debt that's very unlikely they'll ever pay off, and they'll always be behind this just continual eight ball. It is a truly predatory system. It is based on the fact they know you'll overspend with it. You're not going to truly keep track of it. You're going to open more and more lines of credit. It's the American system is broken in so many different ways. Knights of the Storm says people are talking about the Genius Act, but not about the prior Clarity Act. The Clarity Act is how you know the Genius Act is about CBDC. The Clarity Act was rushed through just before the Genius and sets up the authority. Genius is the framework. Together, they indicate an oncoming CBDC. Also, the U.S. is working on retail CBDC over wholesale. That's huge. Retail is what you and I use, while wholesale is bank-to-bank transactions. Look up Project Hamilton. That's the retail CBDC we are working on right now. I've actually got an article here from Scott Bessent. Well, it's about Scott Bessent. It says, we will center financial regulation on Main Street, not Wall Street. They know that, you know, Wall Street and the government are kind of hand in hand anyway. They're going to go along with, you know, whatever happens. They're two peas in the same pod. They're going to come after Main Street. They're going to target you and me. They're going to, as I said, put these stable coins, ability to use them in at the grocery store. So that, as I said, when the infrastructure starts getting built, that's when you know it's serious. Companies don't buy into something unless they know it's coming. And it is incredibly, anytime the government says we're going to focus.
It makes everybody, all these stable coins, by the way, Travis, it makes the big corporations. And go ahead, sir.
Oh, no. Go on, please.
I was just saying that it makes all these companies lenders. It makes them banks. Like, it bypasses traditional banking. It makes everything a lender. You just talked about how, you know, even like Walmart or any of these big retailers they issue their own coin, their own stable coin back, you know, off the backbone of whatever coin. It could be Tether, it could be anything. And they create this new system where they can lend you out. You can get into debt with anyone. And think about that, like how that would be. So, I mean, in some ways, it's good to be decentralized, but then you're just talking about every avenue to expand personal debt. It is interesting. And you know, I think I noticed there's a change in the economy right now, just off my business and watching, you know, talking to people and knowing what's going on, things like Wolfpack, where the prices of precious metals are going up and up and up, and the people buying from me is decreasing because the big people are buying. That's what I want to communicate and telegraph to everybody, is that institutions are buying all these metals, and the average person is like, if they can't afford a certain amount, they just can't. They can't make these big moves they were. And if you already have them, you have them. So that's a metric, I think, of the economic situation. It's really interesting, and they're definitely telegraphing you something. They're saying something about, you know, the purchases from these big players, and then what's happening to everyday folks. It's hard. The economy's hard for people. I don't care what spectrum you're on right now. It's tough. The prices are increasing, and the uncertainty of liquidity. I totally get that, and that's what we built Wolfpack for, is affordability of getting out of fiat and actually getting real value for it, without having to do very much, and, you know, just not having to pay attention to it, just set it and forget it. And we have that set up for people, and I think that's going to be more important than ever, as the dollar continues to be reset, and it's going to continue to lose some purchasing power along the way, and to this stable coin reality.
Yeah, we have a good comment here from Whackjaw. He says, "I have no idea of the difference between what a stable coin is and CBDC is. From what I understand, you know, central bank digital currency would be the primary issue from the central bank. Like the Fed would say, this is the new standard of currency for the United States, you know, whatever they choose to call it. Whereas a stable coin is something that, you know, different companies can mint their own version of it. And, you know, this is based off whatever assets we hold here or there or." That's my understanding of it. I could be wrong. Tony, would you be able to give a more in-depth explanation?
No, I think your synopsis is correct. I mean, the central bank digital currency, like we were saying earlier, you know, even though it's not a lot of oversight and it is a private banking consortium, a CBDC is at least right there. It's centralized. It's, you know, you're going to see a Jerome Powell or whatever, but a stable coin system is decentralized in a way, but public-private partnerships, right? This is the technocracy. This is the way that the system would work on that, because that's the difference between, you know, like a Kamala Harris win and a Trump win. You're still getting centralized blockchain technology. Matter of fact, when Trump came in, one of the first things he did, he signed the executive order against central bank digital currency, and then in his next breath, he says, "Now we're going to do these stable coins, and these stable coins are going to be great." You see, it's that they're going to use that, and this is the direction it's going. And still, I'm still figuring it out. You know, this is always a student, never a master at any of this stuff, because there's too many moving parts. And you have somebody that claims they know, they're delusional. There's too many things to try to understand. But I do, the more that I sit in this and meditate on it and think about it, that would be the way to go. And you use the stable coins. As far as the controllers, they want to get control of that in real time expansion and contraction of the money supply under that blockchain system. So the difference between a CBDC and a stable coin, whatever you want to call it won't be a CBDC, it'll be something else, is that the CBDC would have more oversight. That's it. I mean, that's and that's limited oversight, but they would still have some oversight. And I think these stable coins are more seductive, because it says, "Oh, well, this is just the financial markets. This isn't, you know, this isn't just the Fed thing. This isn't the Fed coin. This is something different. This is my dollar, you know." And they, it's, I think that's psychologically going to be more palpable. And then we'll see, you know, that I have all these questions about what we did with the petrodollar and everything else, and it looks like we've just been setting the stage for stablecoin. Remember Scott Bessent? He's got ties to Tether and other things. These guys back in the previous administration were working on all this stuff. They've been working on stablecoins for a long time.
Yeah. And again, government loves deniability. Anytime they can kind of shift blame into other areas, whether it's one avenue of government shifting it onto a different bureaucracy, or whether it's government saying, it's not us, it's these big corporations. You don't have to worry about that. Look, it's not a CBDC, it's Walmart's stablecoin, or it's, whatever, insert Amazon's stablecoin. We all know how these corporations play so nicely with the government and basically do whatever they want at a whim. They're all in bed together. So it's effectively the same thing. And of course, it's still digital and can be turned off instantaneously. If the government comes in and says, hey, this individual over here that's holding a massive amount of your stablecoin, we don't like them. We don't like what they're posting. We don't like what they're saying. We don't like what they're doing. Turn off their account. Seize that. Drop it to zero. Remove it. They're going to do it. They're not going to say, oh, I don't think so, Mr. Government. I don't think I'm going to do that. That sounds like it's a violation of this and an infringement of that. They're just going to go, sir, yes, sir. And your stablecoin will vanish. It'll be redistributed or put into a government holding account somewhere, because that's how these people operate.
That's exactly right.
We've got some more comments, and I know we're a little bit over time, but I'd like to get through them if you're okay with staying for just a bit longer.
Sure, go ahead.
Jerry Alitalo says, you got a problem with stablecoin? You got something against stability? Yeah, that's how they are. It's stable. It's good. It's great.
It's stable.
It's
It's
like,
right there. And there's a tether, and it's tethered to, yeah.
it's like the
You can
Patriot
pull
Act.
yourself up.
What are you, anti-patriotic?
It's a big, beautiful bill.
Dustin D. Helm.
Why don't you like big, beautiful things?
Exactly. They always pull that. They call it something that it isn't, the exact inverse of it. Dustin D. Helm says CBDC by the end of the year. Can you ask Tony how far out he thinks we are from CBDCs? So he thinks it's by the end of the year and wants your opinion on if you think it'll happen by then.
I think it's more like a couple, 3 years of implementation. I mean, these things move slowly, and it has to, because you're talking about that's the behemoth that has to get redirected. So I think it's just a, I think there's a series of events where you'll have a quickening, and then there'll be a little bit of cooling off, and then they'll have another portion. We'll see that the systems will start to absorb this new technology. Especially after the Genius Act, I think this is going to be a moment where we just start seeing a lot of things open up. End of the year is probably a little soon, but who knows? Who knows anymore? They surprise me with their, whatever timeline they're on or whatever simulation they're running. And I was surprised when we lost the petrodollar and did nothing about it. So now I'm starting to see why we did it.
The one thing you always have to consider is they do need to have physical, tangible infrastructure in place for any of these plans. So that's always something to look at when assessing timelines. How quickly can they get the infrastructure in place to utilize these things and then get people to adopt them? So that's going to be like getting grandma onto stablecoin is going to take a little bit of doing. So you gotta consider the real world applications. SoloCat 1980, all credit card companies are loan sharking people. Yeah, every single one of them is charging interest rates that, again, would have made the mafia blush back in the day. They would have been like, we can do that to people? That's crazy. That's evil. We couldn't, how could we do this? That's unconscionable. Don't frag me.
Corporations will always make the mob envious,
Yeah.
because you look at what happened to Las Vegas. It used to be run by the mob. You probably was talking to my friend Sam Tripoli yesterday. I came out to California to do tinfoil hat, and we talked about that. Like, you used to be able to go to Vegas, you'd lose $1,000, but you get a $5 stake, and now everything's hundreds, and there's no incentive. Like, it's not cheap, or you still get it's robbed every which way, because it's run by, I mean, the corporations will get you. At least the mob would throw you a bone.
Yeah. The corporations are just there to maximize profit on every single avenue. No matter what it is, they'll rob you blind. Don't frag me, bro. All economies are subject to the central bank cartel. That is a debt usury-based monetary policy within their fractionalized banking, aka quantitative easing beast system. And Guard Goldsmith, good to see you, Guard. Always a pleasure. You can go check Guard out at Liberty Conspiracy. It says if people knew more about Project Cedar and CBDC manipulation via stablecoin equivalent, they'd be buying more precious metals every day. Yeah, that's another thing. So many people just, you know, they hear CBDC, they hear stablecoin, and again, they just tune out. It's like, I don't care about that. I don't want to, whatever that is, doesn't matter to me. You know, this type of news is something that, as a general rule, it's kind of, like, when you read it, it's dull. It has real gigantic impacts, and it causes massive chaos when something goes wrong with it. But it's generally very dry and uninteresting to read. It's like, oh, the market swung up a point here. It swung down a point there. This is going up. That's going down. It's not a fun or really interesting read, but it has massive impact. So getting people to actually learn about it is very, very difficult. Even for me. I'm reading it, it's like, oh, wow, you know, 1 point here, 2 points there. What does that really mean? What does it matter? But it has a gigantic real-world impact, especially with the Genius Act coming through. Wally Walrus, I'll tell you what, I'm working 60 hours a week right now just trying to keep vehicles running to keep working. Getting ridiculous out here in the real world. All of my insurance has doubled this year. I can barely afford to keep my construction company open. Everything is getting more and more expensive, and it's getting more expensive rapidly. And sorry to hear that's going on with your business, Wally. I hope things get better for you. Well, we're 12 minutes over time. I really appreciate you staying, Tony. And of course, you have always America Unplugged. Are you able to do that show today? Are you going to be live after this?
I'll be live. I'm going to be doing the Artaban radio transmission. We'll be over the America Unplugged channel on Rumble and on my X at Tony Artaban. So come join us.
Fantastic. And of course,
talk precious metals and parapolitics and whatever else is on my mind.
Absolutely. And of course, we will be raiding Tony's Rumble stream. So if you want to watch him, you can stay with us and we'll pass you on over. But thank you again for joining us, Tony. And thank you for setting up DavidKnight.gold. Again, if you want to get gold or silver, you can go to DavidKnight.gold and it'll let Tony know you came through us. So thank you, Tony. Really do appreciate it. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Thank you, Travis. Appreciate you.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.